Miller with 1015 Thailand will be here with us, and we will be taking up a special box out there, just like we do for revivals, to help with their ministry and while they're here in the States. And then I got another video. I'm not sure if I'm supposed to share that one until next week, but it deals with more of what some of their struggle that they have going on over there with human trafficking and things of that nature. So definitely a thing that we're hoping to learn more about with having them here next week and being able to share with them. And I hope you're excited to have them in as we share in that. It's good to have you all here this morning. I hope you're excited to be here. All right, there we go. Thanks, Jason. All right. So we're going to be in the book of Ephesians this morning. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 17 is the text that we're going to be looking at when we get there. But a little bit about, the town, the city of Ephesus, high in what we would call it, a pagan city of things going on. And it's either many times what we would call the left coast, what we see. But you know what? Be honest. We see it all over the place. And what we need to remember is this passage of Scripture that was shared. It's been over 20 years ago. Roland Reister did a opening devotional over when we were meeting in the old building. And he used this passage of Scripture, and he used the King James Version of the Bible there at that time, so he had the word circumspectly, and that's why I remember that text so much. We may have it see it in our text as being wise or walking carefully, as we'll get into that today. But it's always stuck in my mind that as Paul is telling the church at Ephesus, he's not telling them, go out there and act like the rest of the city. He's not telling them to go out there and be like everybody else. He's saying, you need to be different. And as Jason had shared this morning, Lord's got a sense of humor. He's made us different in many different ways. But as we look at that and we're reminded of these things, he's wanting for us to set that example. I don't have it in the text for us this morning, but if you have your Bibles open and you look at verse 14 of that and put it in that context, it says, "Awake, O sleeper!" Mary, it's talking to you. Oh wait, she's not even there now. She's gone. Sometimes it says, "Awake, O sleeper." Right, and so as we see that, and it talks about being different, so that Christ may shine on you. And if there's anything this world needs today, it's a little more Jesus shining on us. But we see this word circumspectly or walking carefully in our text, and we'll discuss that here in a little bit. Anyway, so our text this morning, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 17, says, "Therefore, be careful how you walk." That's just good advice. Not all the sidewalks are made equally or levelly, right? Not as unwise, but as wise. Making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And so as he's talking to us, he's telling us to be careful. This comes from the Latin word circumspectio, which means to take a look around, to view things. In other words, have your head on a swivel. Too many times we live with tunnel vision. I know I can get that way really easy. You get caught up doing something, and that's all you're thinking about, and that's all you're looking for. But he says, to as we walk through this life, to take a look around us, and with that good consciousness, be cautious. To be careful, to be watchful, to be wary of those things going around us, going on around us. Why so? So that we can stay away from danger. See, we're not supposed to just have our head looking everywhere so we can see who's doing what now. But it's to stay away from danger, not to run to danger, but to stay away from those evil things in our life. To be able to discern out the good and the evil, to those things which are enemies in our life, to those things in which we should stay away from, and to those in which we need to, as we see here, watch carefully. But another thing in that text that we need to pay attention to is how it says redeeming the time, or how it'll tell us to, as we focus on those things, look for every opportunity is what this literally means. Using every opportunity that we can to make the most of the situation in which we have. I find myself too many times as you're at the gas pump or something, you know, so there's somebody across from you talking about the weather. Boy, it's hot today. Right? Or boy, it's cold today. I found the I'm pretty unhappy with the weather no matter what it is, it seems. Because I'm always, it's either too cold or it's too hot. I need that, you know, little Three Bears book where everything's just right. When we could be at least talking to that person about the Lord, inviting them to church, opportunity to remind them how good God is, and as Josh had shared with the communion meditation, that healing power that this world needs so desperately, that we could redeem that time. And that is, it goes with that thought of buying back, that we've been given some financial resources, but even spiritually speaking, and we use those things for His glory. And that's what we'll look at as we get into our lesson today. But using every opportunity. Now, growing up, I know Tim was a San Francisco 49ers fan, Jerry Rice and Joe Montana and Steve Young. And so Jerry Rice, one of the greatest athletes, receivers of all time, physically fit individual, had this phrase, and I've heard the phrase several times throughout the years, and the best I could figure, looking up the quotes, it goes back to him that says, because I think I've heard Dave Ramsey use it and everybody. But anyway, the whole idea is, I will do today what others will not, so that I can do tomorrow what others cannot. And so Dave Ramsey uses that as, I'm going to not, you know, spend money today so that I'll have money to spend later. People spend money today, then they don't have it later, and things of that nature. But with the Jerry Rice thought is, I'm going to practice, or I'm going to train, or I'm going to do things today that others will say, I'm going to quit. I'm going to stop for the day. I'm going to go ahead, and I'm going to do extra. I'm going to do more. And so do we have that idea in our mind when it comes to Christianity? That I'm going to do today what others will not, so that tomorrow I can do what others cannot. Am I going to study just a little harder today? Am I going to pray just a little longer today? Am I going to put myself out there for just a little more service today so that it affects, so that I can be more equipped for tomorrow? And what he's saying is, the time that we have today will soon be over. It's fleeting. Make the most of what you got. Whether it's today or you're training for tomorrow, but use what you have all the while. All the while. Because if that's anything, I've made mention of this before. I know preachers that lock themselves in their offices or their studies or their basements or whatever, and they'll study out and they'll say, I've locked myself in the basement for the last 20 years to study this subject. No articles have been written on it. No sermons have been preached about it. No, so what good has it done to do all this preparation and then to keep it to yourself? Selfish. Selfish. Josh talked about that in Sunday school today. And so as we look at this, Paul is trying to remind the Christians in Ephesus, as I hope I can remind you here this morning, that as we go about, there are enemies that we need to stay away from. There are situations that we need to be cautious in, and we need to walk circumspectly. But also walk in such a way that we redeem the time and we take care of those opportunities. What for? There's three things that we want to look at today about that. What for? The number one reason in this, as we look at this, is so that we better carry out the will of the Lord. His will, His wisdom and His knowledge that He has for us. His will for spiritual wisdom and understanding. He wants for us. As we know, Jesus never wasted any opportunities when it come to sharing the message with those that were he was around. That's what Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus here, for us to do the same. And as he reminds us of this, that is his will for us. We see in our text here in Colossians that Paul prayed for the Christians in Colossae, in Thessalonica, in Ephesus, and we need to pray for one another today. So that what? Paul didn't pray to be more like him. He didn't say, Peter's such a swell guy, be more like Peter. Paul is praying for the church, for the Christians, to be more like Jesus. And as we said, if the world can use a little more of anything, isn't it Jesus? Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9 says, for this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask you, that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. In other words, God, through the Holy Spirit there with the Apostle Paul, says, we have not stopped to pray for you so that you would understand what the spiritual wisdom and understanding of God is. Church, I want for you to understand and realize this morning, that's the same prayer that your elders and your evangelist has for this congregation. It's for that you understand what the spiritual wisdom and understanding of His Word is. In other words, it does no good to just be, and I know we're prepping for youth camp and sword drills, and we want to be the fastest one there, right? Yeah, Gabby's like, yeah, get out of my way, right? Caitlin, they're like, oh, going to take them down. But it does no good just to get there and find the verse. You got to know what it is and understand what it is. You got to have the knowledge of it. You got to have the wisdom. You got to have the understanding. You got to make it applicable to your life. Because too many times we sit in here, we want to be uplifted, we want to be elevated, we want to be made like it's a pep rally, but then we get outside and we don't change the way we approach anything. Let's get excited about it in here and then take it out there to a world that needs it so desperately. But we have to understand what his wisdom and will for our life is. And I think Jason shared that with us this morning in his opening pretty plainly. That once you take care of number one, then it's our responsibility to make sure we share that gospel. And that's his will for us. That's his will for our life. To encourage others. And in our desire to encourage one another, you're going to be encouraged too. You're going to be uplifted too. If not, just by the simple reminder, as you're encouraging someone how great God is, you'll remember how great God is. It's a reminder to us in his wisdom and his understanding. Right? George, what can you do to make Jesus love you anymore? Not a thing. Not a thing. Mike, what can you do to make Jesus love you any less? Nothing. Isn't that great? It's unconditional love. There is nothing. He loves us. He died for us, whether we care for him or not. That's unconditional love. You can do nothing. Those that strive, well, I'm going to do this so that Jesus will, you know, give me an extra jewel to put in my crown. I'm not sure that's exactly how it works. All right? Or, I'm such a terrible person, Jesus would never love me. Well, that's not true either. See, we got to understand his love's unconditional. Jesus loves me, right? Right? Which then the whole thought there and idea goes to our next point that tells us not to be childlike, but to grow up. Right? You graduates are hearing all this, right? Oh, you're entering a new chapter in your life. It's time to grow up. Well, I think you've been doing that. However, we do like to sing the song, and the little kids like it. Jesus loves me, right? Older kids like it too. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Come on, Asher. Oh, okay. No? All right. But as we look at this, Jesus loves the little children, right? We like to sing that song. Jesus loves the little children. However, and as Brandon had mentioned in his prayer, we're his children. But the goal for all parents is that their kids grow up someday. Amen? Their kids grow up. In other words, quit acting like a little kid and grow up and be mature. The Lord wants the same for us. Boy, he loves us as and we're his little children, that's for sure. However, he does want for us to grow up into maturity, into the aspects of all things. That he has given to us. Not to be childlike, as we said. Imagine if you were hired at a job. All right? Those of you that are in the workforce, you know, remember 118 years ago when you hired in the first day? Right? And you're 118 years on the job, and you're not any better than you were the day you started. Right? Brandon's like, I know some people like that, right? But so nothing's changed. You haven't improved. You know, you're on a conveyor, you're on a line, assembly line, and you did three parts that very first day, and 118 years later, you did three parts yesterday or the other day, right? No improvement, right? Would you be expecting, you know, raises? Would you? Yeah, we would, right? I've gave 118 years to this company, right? I've worked for them. I've done this. I've done that. Well, imagine that same idea in our spiritual life. Well, I remember back in 1812 when I was immersed into Christ, the water was cold, right? But that's all you can remember because that's all you ever did. After that, you never changed anything. And so when we look at this, he wants for us to grow up. 1 Corinthians 14:20, brethren, do not be children in your thinking. Grow up. Challenge yourself. Right? All these graduates are going to go into the world. They're going to teach this world a thing or two. Right? Yeah. It's a Tommy Boy reference. So you're not no longer children in your thinking. But yet it says, in evil, be infants. But in some cases, Christians have a master's degree in their evilness. But we're supposed to be ignorant when it comes to that. We're supposed to be infants when it comes to the evilness. But in your thinking, be mature. Follow the example of our elder brother, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Don't be children. Grow up. Improve. Try to do better. And then why do we do these things? So that we glorify Him, right? So that we glorify Christ. First of all, we're to glorify Christ and be that shining example that we talked about. Let Christ shine on you. We're to reflect that. And those in Christ are to encourage and uplift one another and not hinder one another. Philippians 1:27 says, only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or remain absent, I will hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. That is our responsibility as we're here this morning to encourage and strengthen one another. Amen. You know, say somebody as they walk, oh, I didn't know if we'd see you today. That's not too encouraging. Right? So be encouraging to one another. The verse actually following this in Philippians 1:28 talks about not alarming our opponents, but being a sign of salvation to them. And so as we see that and we think of this, see, we oftentimes, you know, they're my enemy. I can't deal with that. I need to stay away from them. It's not what Jesus said. That's what makes the Bible different than the Quran. The Quran says you try to teach somebody and they don't agree, don't change, that you're to kill them. They're infidels. But Jesus says you try to convert somebody, you talk to somebody, you're an enemy of somebody, you try to make them their friend, and even if they don't accept, then you still be nice to them. And by doing so, you heap coals of fire on their head. And then that's where we start to think, right? Oh, yeah, I want to put coals of fire on their head. No, then you've missed the point there, too. And so as we look at this, we need to be reminded that this is done to glorify God, and in doing so, we encourage one another. There's nothing that He loves more than to look down and see His children getting along. Well, I'll say maybe the only thing he likes more is, as we said, to add to that family. But he wants to see us getting along. We're not to hinder them. But then we're also to, in our actions, we glorify God in such a way that the world sees the difference. That the world looks at us and says, why are you different? Now, some of us get a lot of that anyway. No, but we're talking from Christianity's point of view. What makes you strange? What makes you peculiar? Why are you so different? Ought to be for the cause of Christ to the world. And so we let them know, well, why don't you come and see? Isn't that what they said? So what about this one that's told us about everything that we've done? Come and see. Right? Come and see. It is our responsibility to redeem the lost, to redeem the time in redeeming the lost, that we take advantage. We've all had opportunities that have slipped through our hands, slipped through our fingers. I should have said something. I could have said something. I ought to have said something. Paul is having them here at the church at Ephesus. He's telling them that we need to redeem that time, take it back, go get it. Let them know. Let the world know. Let those that you come in contact know that there is a Jesus, that he is your Savior, and he wants to be that to you. That you're hurting, he heals the hurting. Brokenhearted, he heals the brokenhearted. You're a sinner, he's the friend of sinners. He'll wash those sins away. You know what? And maybe it's physical problems. Maybe there's cancer or heart trouble or whatever. Just remember one thing. All those things, as important as they can be in our lives, are temporary. But being with Jesus is forever. And that's what we need to let people know. We do care about you physically and all those things, and that's why we've got a prayer list for so many of those things. But you know what? That prayer list should be full with people's names that we're trying to win to Jesus. Walk around. Keep your head up. Look about. There's somebody out there that is just waiting for you to talk to them about Jesus. There's a plan of salvation that's given in scriptures and tells us that we need to be obedient to Jesus, that we need to believe who he is, that we put all those other things away and we just simply follow Jesus, that you repent of your sin, that you confess Jesus Christ as Lord, that you are immersed into Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sin. It's nothing special that you do when that happens. You're just a dead man. They're lowering you down. It's the operation of God, as Colossians 2 tells us. And live faithfully for him. That's the hardest part as far as I'm concerned. Living faithfully for him. To let our light shine. To walk circumspectly. To redeem the time. Those are difficult things. But that's why we're encouraged to do them. To keep on keeping on. Be faithful for the cause of Christ. Let your life shine. Awake! Arise, O sleeper, and let Jesus shine on you. Will you stand as they lead us in our song of invitation?